What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. So make sure to hump someone you love. I've already gotten started this morning with my son, who's looking so sexy this morning, Theo.
Hey, Jax. So good to see you. You look so beautiful, stunning, and smart.
Ugh, Theo is just like...
everything.
He's just what you need to like power through your week, you know?
It is. Like, just when
it?
It is.
Are you referring to Theo as an it?
No, that it's just what you need.
Oh, okay. Because he's just what you need. And so therefore
but
you
that
said
that sentiment is just what you need.
Sure. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we weren't, going down that road.
But why would I ever do that?
I don't know.
You ever known me to do that?
No, that's why it was so out of character for you. I just had to call you on it.
Right. But you were wrong. J'accuse.
J'accuse. Hope everyone had an amazing day yesterday. It's been 24 hours since we last saw you. Not that much has happened. We have a good amount of stuff to discuss. The Bachelorette was on last night.
Yes.
It is Wednesday, which means our Dear Toasters, it's just like, you know, it's so in demand. Everyone wants to know, like, when's the next Dear Toasters? When's the next Dear Toasters?
It's always Wednesday.
It's today, you guys. So if you ever want to write in, the email is deartoasters@gmail.com. We will read your advice completely anonymously on air and give our, you know, we'll try our best.
We will. We give good advice. Feels like a while since we've done a Dear Toasters, so I have some fresh advice being cooked up.
Yesterday was a crazy day. Spotify Wrapped came out and...
I know. We were just talking about it too. It's such a great day when Spotify
kind of
Wrapped
early.
Comes out. December 1st, I guess.
No, I know, but then it's like, it's really not a 2020. It's an 11 month.
Yes, and then my question is, does the music you listen to in December count towards anything?
Yeah.
Like, could I just start listening to crazy stuff just because?
100%.
Because the count doesn't start till January 1st and, like, no one's looking right now.
No, that's such an excellent question. I don't know. I definitely don't think it goes into your 2020.
That wouldn't make sense.
Because it's not in 2021. I don't know. I would need some follow-up from the Spotify team.
If it did go into the 2020, I would have more Christmas music in my Spotify Wrapped.
You mean the 2021?
Yeah, 2021, because I listened to the Christmas music in December.
Right.
I don't have any Christmas songs in my top 100.
Maybe that's why they don't include December in their Wrapped, because it's like skewed data.
Too influenced by the holiday.
Right.
Yeah, but it is interesting. Also, I feel like they usually give you a nice thing. Maybe this came in my email and I missed it, where it's like by
season. You
got
an email?
No, they usually send you an email, like letting you know your Wrapped is here.
Did you get it?
Well, it goes to my college email, which I don't check. But I should check it, because usually they send in your email like what you were listening to in the fall, in the spring.
Right.
And I do like the data broken down in that way as well.
I just find it such a premium experience, like to go find your data and then like the little stories they put together with the music playing in the background, bright colors. It's a really premium experience.
It's so premium. We actually have a story about Spotify Wrapped, so we'll share our insights then. But I just want to say, everyone was tagging us in the minutes they listened to the toast. And like, I was posting so many of them on my stories, even though I know it's like annoying for the viewer.
It's like a classic annoying thing. Like on social media.
I was just like so grateful.
Proud
and also grateful to everyone who listens to the show for thousands of hours, who listens to hundreds of episodes. Like, this year has been just extremely trying. And I feel like for a lot of you and for us too, like the toast has been
the constant.
Like a life raft a little bit. And I'm just like really grateful to everyone who's listened this year.
So we're just being annoying, like showing everyone we have so many listeners, you know.
No, but like I also like I wish I could post all of the mentions.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
But now I've just started posting like the ones that are like hundreds of episodes.
No, it's actually crazy just seeing how much how many episodes people listen to a year, because we have had 204 new episodes this year, but some people have watched like over 400 episodes because they're listening to old episodes.
Where's
too
you get 204
our
on podcast?
Yeah, no, our back end.
Oh, interesting. I saw 195.
I saw that too, but it's 204.
Oh, wow. We do so many episodes. It's insane.
I know. But then
some people were posting, I listened to 180 episodes. I'm like, well, you missed 20.
Yeah, no. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, 180? That's not enough.
You haven't listened to all of them?
Well, then I was also thinking, okay, so we're up to 204 episodes. We probably have 15 more episodes, maybe less this year. But there's 365 days in a year. Now, of course, you have to take out weekends, holidays, and vacations. So it's just like, how many weekdays are there in a year?
I mean, I'll do it quickly. So there's 52 weeks in a year, means that there's
52
weekends.
Oh, sure.
104 weekends. So 365 minus 104 is 261.
Oh, and we did, we'll end up doing 215, 220. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Plus established holidays. And then when we were away in August, we did one episode a week.
And plus Patreon.
Plus Patreon probably brings us back to brings us around 250.
So there is probably, hypothetically, a episode of The Morning Toast for every weekday of the year. Probably.
That's our intention.
Because if we're not here, we're doing Patreon and we're always just giving content in random places.
Yeah.
It's also a leap year.
So we had that extra day for you.
Yeah. I forgot it was a leap year. So much happened.
I know.
And the leap day was before all this coronavirus drama.
We got one more good day in, though.
That's true.
You got to count your blessings.
Oh, my God. I'm so grateful. You know, I feel really, I don't really know a lot of stuff, about science or history or geography or biology or pretty much any of the ologies. But I feel really when it's one weird piece of trivia and you bring it up whenever you can.
You work it into every piece of conversation.
I understand why we have leap years, and it's because I learned it in school once and I just never forgot it. It's weird what sticks with you. And I feel so proud. Do you know why?
I think people would want to know why. Sometimes we do like to educate and inform here.
So do you know that every year is how many days?
365, Claudia.
Wrong. It's actually 365 and 6 hours.
Okay.
So every 4 years, those extra 6 hours accumulate into one extra day. And
which
that's what
leap day.
February 29th, right?
February 29th, yeah. I believe we were in LA, the LA Steens. You want to know how I know that?
How?
Because I just got my Spotify Wrapped, my number one song of the year. I'm going to spoil this, even though we do have a story about just Spotify Wrapped in general. My number one song of the year was Stupid Love by Lady Gaga. And they said the first time that I played it was February 28th, and it came out while we were in LA. Remember, yeah. We were listening, and can you believe? And if you listen to my reaction, because I think we talked about it on The Toast, my reaction to that song, I was like, it's good, it was whatever. Number one song of the year for me.
I mean, I also just can't believe we traveled a week before coronavirus.
2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I was also in Miami for President's Day weekend. So
that was before that.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So it was just now that it's December. So pardon me for just getting emotional, perspective, you know, it's just so crazy. When you take a step back and realize how we were moving so fast, even the week before coronavirus, we would not be stopped. We as a society,
we as a society,
everything was just still happening. And then one day, the world just paused.
Yeah.
And it
never
turned back
play
on
again.
Press play. Please. Press it. Please. So yeah, sorry to get all introspective, but
I feel like this is the month, and it's December 2nd, so we're starting early. But and even in the stories today, you'll see everything is now year-end roundup. We have People apparently has their People of the Year. Everything is of the year. We got Spotify Wrapped. I feel we're going to be doing a lot of episodes that are our best of the year. Even the redheads. Oh, I need to make this announcement because I only announced it on Instagram Live.
Such a big deal, you guys. Maybe just take a second. If you're listening to this podcast, sit down. And just brace yourselves for what's about to come.
Maybe
major news.
Maybe you take a second and stop being so mean to the redheads who are going to be such a source of support for you.
I wasn't being mean. I'm dead serious. It's a really big deal.
It's not a really big deal. But
it's a big deal.
The Redheads episode this week is dropping 1 week later because of scheduling conflicts. We wanted to be able to record in person, make it the best episode possible because we're going to do our whole year in review. And the book that we read this month is it. So it will drop next Thursday, not tomorrow. I'm sorry if this ruins anything for you.
I told you guys you were going to want to sit down. I was right. I wasn't being dramatic. I'm being dead serious.
Okay,
can't just throw a wrench in people's plans and not make it a big deal.
I know. And I only had announced it on the Instagram Live, which I feel like millions of people watch, but it was only
millions? Billions.
It was only a handful. So now you know.
But yes, I agree with you. I think something about it now being December, this whole year we've been I can't believe it's already the summer. But now that it's actually December,
December hit different.
For everyone. And I think everyone's becoming deeply
introspective
and like nostalgic over the year.
Nostalgic and, for the good 2 months.
Yeah. So I think just putting the fact that it's December like really puts into perspective that like the year's over. I know that's obvious seeing as how December is the last month, but like it just makes you like emo and stuff.
Yes, it definitely does. And it's usually more fun to reflect on the year in December because there is like so much to reflect on. Mm-hmm. This year is obviously different, but I feel like we'll still have some things to reflect on, like different phases of quarantine. Like remember the tie-dye phase?
Yeah, that was a dark time.
There was Tiger King phase.
Tiger King phase. I remember the for me the knitting phase that was a low point for sure.
For me there was like a chips phase where I was eating chips every day.
Oh, that sounds like an awesome phase.
Yeah, and then I graduated to French fries.
Oh, for me there was like the taco phase where like literally all I ate was tacos.
There was like Passover there. That's how I started eating chips.
Passover. I can't believe we had Passover in
Zoom
quarantine.
Passover.
Yeah, that was so sad.
There was the Zoom toast phase.
Zoom toast phase. There was some dark times. I could bring up some bad stuff too, but I'm just looking to move forward. Keep my head towards 2021.
2021. We're right on track. So speaking of moving forward, let's get in. Oh my God, you're like the nerd who drops all of his books.
I have so many cards today because we have obviously the sponsors, but then we also have Dear Toaster. So I'm like, oh no, I can't keep my cards up. Sorry. So unprofessional of me.
You're like the nerd.
No, I'm like, I get shoved into a locker. I'm like, oh
my cards.
My textbook. Okay, let's go.
When I'm ready.
Let's go.
I'm not feeling it.
What do you say?
okay. Oh, yeah, I can do
now
it.
Now it's time to dive into the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Don't hit that crunch.
Yeah, that's
don't
right.
Don't hit that
yeah,
crunch.
Yeah, that's right. You don't do it. You're not the only one who could do it, Jackie. Okay. And today's episode is brought to you by Hush Blankets, which has really been the true sponsor of quarantine. Mine, the one that we got... I don't know, maybe I've had it for like 8 months now. Still at the edge of my bed. It's the best thing that I own. And I've convinced all my friends to get it. It is the best, most high quality weighted blanket out there. I always knew what the weighted blanket was for me. I just saw some that were like kind of ugly. And the Hush Blankets one are really, really cute. I have like a navy blue velvet one.
Yes.
It's the throw blanket. And they're just way more stylized because I've seen some really ugly ones. So while I believe in the power of weighted blankets, like I just don't want something ugly on my bed.
No.
But the Hush Blankets one are stylish as hell.
And the navy blue one matches your navy blue pillows.
Yes, it does. The quality of the blanket is fabulous. It is made with luxurious, high quality materials. The Hush Blanket is substantially better looking than any other weighted blanket on the market. I completely agree. And if you want to know the benefits of a weighted blanket and why it might be helpful for you, in these stressful times, especially with what's going on in the world, people are experiencing stress and anxiety about many things, and the Hush Blanket goal is to provide a sense of relief. The Hush Blanket will help you relax, stay calm, and feel like a big hug. It's actually proven to help have a deeper sleep. You can actually be proven to stay asleep longer, and it's proven to help people who experience anxiety and stress. And the Hush Blanket Give Back program, it's fabulous because they donate 1 in 10 adult blankets and 1 in 5 kids blankets to charities and shelters in need. It's been a huge part of their brand since day one. And they also have a 100-night guarantee. So if you're on the fence about it, the return and exchange process is super easy. You have 100 nights to test out your blanket. And if you don't love it, you can send it back to them for a full refund. No questions asked. I don't think that's going to happen. But it's nice to have that sort of security.
Yes.
Blanket. If you feel like it's too heavy or light, you can exchange sizes. So it's not just like one size. If it's all because like different people need different weights, you know. If you want to check out Hush Blankets and also get a 15% off code, use the code TOASTER, that's TOASTER, at hushblankets.com. But only if you use hushblankets.com, promo code TOASTER, TOASTER, for 15% off. And then it goes down to 10% off. So make sure you use it ASAP, hushblankets.com.
Love it. Okay. I was going to say something about Hush Blankets. Oh, I just feel like I'm really feeling blankets right now. Like it's blanket season.
Vibe cultivation is so premium and you need a blanket in order to achieve the cultivated vibes.
And also blankets are an amazing gift.
Yes, I agree.
Like so cozy and personal.
In these times especially.
Yes. Okay, first story, big news of the day. Ellen Page comes out as transgender, will be called Elliot. Ellen Page is transgender and will now go by the name Elliot Page, he announced on social media on Tuesday. Quote, I feel lucky to be writing this, to be here, to have arrived at this place in my life, he wrote. I feel overwhelmingly gratitude for the incredible people who have supported me along this journey. I can't begin to express how remarkable it feels to finally love who I am enough to pursue my authentic self. Page said he will use he, they pronouns.
Got it. I thought that the statement posted on his social media was like very profound and very well said. And I mean, this is just wonderful. I feel like this is a big deal. I feel like there aren't tons of celebrities. I can only think of two who have come out as transgender.
After being famous.
After being famous. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's Caitlyn Jenner and Chaz Bono.
Chaz Bono. Yeah, for sure. No, it's so great. It's always nice to see someone who's just like being their true, complete self. And I think that's the greatest feeling for anyone.
Totally.
And I think some people have, you know, a tougher road getting there. Mm-hmm. But I just always find it so inspiring. Like
when someone,
because that's just the motto, be yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so much easier said than done. But like when you literally live your life feeling like you were born in the wrong body, like that's such a big change. And I agree. Like seeing people who just like do them and like unapologetically, like I'm so jealous of that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm happy for him.
Very happy. So beautiful. So many celebs are coming out to support Tegan and Sarah, James Gunn, Miley Cyrus, Anna Paquin. Also, he is in Umbrella Academy.
I haven't heard of.
I've heard of it, and I think I've heard that it's really good, but I've never watched it. I was just curious if you've seen it.
No, I have not seen it. But like people keep recommending new Netflix shows to me, and like I'm actually feeling like my plate might be like on the verge of getting full, even though I'm like so in.
You have a big plate.
Even though I'm like so invested in Lost right now, and I found out something crazy about Lost.
Okay.
So there's a character. He's like a young kid. His name is Walt. He's like a cutie, and he's important. And obviously the show was like 10 years ago, and you know who Walt is now? He's one half of MKTO? Yes. Oh, man, I'm like having a stroke today. I can't talk.
I love MKTO.
You're out of my mind, in my name. And when I was born in the wrong time, you're one of a kind, living in a world gone mad. Baby, you're so classic.
Songs that have no business going that hard.
Yes, 100%. And I just found out he's one half of MKTO.
I love that.
For him, me too.
That's a really happy ending.
So that's my dilemma now. Yes, I've heard Umbrella Academy is very good. I've heard In the Dark is very good. I'm like missing out on some Netflix shows.
Never heard of In the Dark. You should also watch Money Heist. So good.
Is it a story about Millie Bobby Brown?
No.
So can we just talk about it really quickly? Did you see the video she posted on social media?
No.
She was like, did a series of Instagram stories, like crying about this experience she had in the mall where like some girl asked if she could, if like, she's like, are you Millie Bobby Brown? And Millie Bobby Brown was like, yeah. And the girl was like, can I take a video of you? And Millie Bobby Brown was like a video of me just like standing here. And the girl was like, yeah. And Millie Bobby Brown was like, no. And then the girl like continued to like invade Millie Bobby Brown's personal space and like video her and her mom. She was shopping in the mall with her mom for holiday season. And it was like kind of like really sad. I think on the surface, and I was reading people's like feedback from it, it's like people didn't see what the big deal was. Like it was like one girl. But I like totally like felt for Millie Bobby Brown. She's like 11 years old, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she is getting older, so I don't think she's 11 anymore.
No, I know, but she will always be 11 to me. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. I think that is weird. Like, I'm sure if she had asked for a selfie, I'm sure Millie would have
100%
said yes.
And that's what she said in the video. She's like, I'll take a picture with anyone. But like,
that's just weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird request.
Yeah, no, it is, right? Like, why do you want a video of Millie Bobby? Like, and it's not like she said, can you say hi to my sister? Wish my mom a happy birthday. Like, she literally just said, can I video you?
Yeah, that is weird.
But it's become such a big story, and all I kept thinking about last night, like, is what is that girl thinking? Like, she's like probably like in her home, like locked herself in her bedroom, and she's like freaking out how she like made Millie Bobby Brown cry.
Good. That's good. It's a learning lesson.
No, for sure. It was a lesson that needs to be learned.
Her lesson.
But at the end of the day, she's just like a fan, and it's she was probably like a nice girl.
I'm sure Millie Bobby Brown didn't like share her name or.
No, but so, I'm sure this girl just has like the biggest pit.
Right. But she's learning a lesson.
Yeah, of course. And it's important.
She's not going to go and ruin someone else's day now.
It's important to learn your lessons for sure, but she's probably just like freaking out. She's like, I don't know how old she is, but I'm just, the way I picture it, she's a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, kids supporting other kids.
Always.
Yeah, no, I love to see a lesson learned.
Lessons being learned.
Okay, we have some hosting news. Okay. Are you ready for it?
Oh, yes, I know what this is. Yes.
The Talk names Amanda Kloots and Elaine Weldroth as co-hosts. The Talk named two co-hosts on Wednesday after Page Six exclusively revealed that producers and network execs have been panicking over ratings. So first, celebrity chainer Amanda Kloots, who lost her husband, Broadway star Nick Cordero, to COVID-19 earlier this year, and journalist Elaine Weldroth are joining the upcoming 11th season when it premieres on January 4th, 2021, the show announced.
Who are the other?
They'll join returning hosts Sharon Osbourne, Cheryl Underwood, and Carrie Ann Inaba.
Yeah, I just found out that Carrie Ann Inaba was on. Is she on CBS? What channel is this?
The Talk.
Is that CBS?
Yes, a CBS insider.
Okay, I have to say something. You know, I find hosting news to be very interesting. Like, I think what goes on at The View is very interesting. I think The Real is actually an amazing show. I'm always keeping up with hosting news. And I have literally never in my life seen 1 minute of The Talk. Mm-hmm. I literally did not even know this was a show. They obviously have a problem with, like, brand imaging because I've never heard of it. And
yeah, but I haven't, like, I couldn't tell you who was on it. But now, like, remembering that, like, Sharon Osbourne is on a talk show.
It sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. And Marie Osmond, who just left.
Okay, I hear that. But I'm like, The View, The Real, The Talk. It's just like, I don't know her. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. It's definitely The View, The Real, The What?
Right, yeah. Like, this is, and so I'm glad that they're making waves with their hosting announcement and, like, that people are talking about it. Maybe people will tune in. Like, I just...
And by the way, we're not alone because sources recently told Page Six that the show's big wigs were, quote, panicking after The Talk's ratings dropped to 1.5 million, half of The View's audience. So, like, they are, you know, that third what?
Yeah, they're just
And they,
like,
know it.
You know what they are?
And the numbers show it.
You know what they are?
What?
Morning Glory.
Yes.
What was that show called?
Daybreak.
Daybreak, like that losery show with, like, no ratings. We're just, like, trying to do their best.
But maybe
but
they
on
got
a legit network.
But maybe literally, like, CBS. It was called, like, IBM.
IBS.
Oh. IBS. Irritable Bowel Syndrome. Yeah. Yeah. IBM is a tech company.
If you haven't seen the movie Morning Glory, like, you just have to.
You just have to. But so maybe they got a new bigwig in there in the form of Rachel McAdams. Well, they brought in Harrison Ford, and that's not what they're doing here. They're going, like, more
new
young,
media
digital.
Which they should, and I actually think Amanda Kloots is a great choice for them. Like, she's very digitally savvy, she's young, she's fresh. Who was the other one announced?
Elaine Weltroth, who's a journalist.
Oh, she's great too. She was on Project Runway. She used to be the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue, I think. Or yeah, these are actually two really, like, whoever chose these, whatever new big wig was put in charge of this particular wig, it did a good job, because these are two actually, like, very
good choices that could give this show a chance.
Yeah, a chance, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not confirmed it's going to be a hit now.
Yeah. I actually think what's so great about The View is, like, obviously I think it's, like, one of the few places on TV that's, like open dialogue, like, people from all walks of, like, the political spectrum. But it's also, like, young and old. Like, Meghan McCain, I think, is the youngest one on there. And, like, she lives and has totally different perspectives of, like, what's going on than, like, Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. So I actually think it's cool, and they're probably mimicking that, to have, like, someone super young, like Elaine Weltroth, and then, like, Sharon Osbourne. Like, two yeah. totally different walks of life.
Yes, but then it's, like, will they mix and will the conversation... Like, you know, it's sort of that magic that you can't put your finger on. Do they have it or do they not?
Right. And that's
why we'll find out on January 4th on CBS.
And that's why The View is so successful, because it's like they fight like crazy. But I think they've all known each other, like, for so long, even before The View. So there's, like, that mutual love and respect that I don't think they actually, like, you watch and you're like, oh my God, these people hate each other, but they don't.
But I think that there have been instances where they truly do. And there's 100%. That book, Ladies Who Punch.
You know, there was a dark time. There was a dark time on The View. I think that you should read
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think I should.
Was that the Elizabeth Hasselbeck era?
It's like the whole era. Like,
oh, and the Barbara Walters.
It's like a history of The View.
That actually sounds interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll read that next.
That's a good...
After I finish The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab, the new Redheads book, which is so good. It's, like, so well written and, like, it, you know?
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to your January selects.
Yeah, they should be interesting. I don't know what we're going to pick yet.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to pick. Girl with No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster. My book comes out January 26, 2021. You know, that really feels like it's so far, but it's not so far anymore. So
no, it's not.
Head over to girlwithnojob.com/book or just head over to my Instagram, girlwithnojob, tap the link in my bio. You could shop my book at tons of places, obviously Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the classic places, but you can also support local bookstores using bookshop.com or IndieBound, and all the resources are on my Instagram. And I would just really appreciate if you could pre-order it, because that'll help me get into airports, and I really want to be in airports, because I just feel like famous people are in airports. Like, if you're not in an airport, go home.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for our next story?
Always.
People.
Oh, wait. No. Is it the next story that's brought to you by Usual Wines?
Yes. Oh,
it is?
A perfect pairing.
Wow, that's
like
crazy.
Just like a perfect wine from Usual Wines. I love my Usual...
Do it.
Are we swapping today?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Usual Wines is a great one. It's easy. They're a fabulous brand.
They're like an amazing brand that's
for
like
you
a,
to get started.
A genius concept that yeah. anyone could have thought of, but they did, and they're doing it better than anyone else would have. Usual wines are wines for the modern drinker. That's us. Each bottle is 6.3 ounces, a heavy pour, or about a glass and a half of wine. I love a glass and a half.
By the way, restaurants that do that are living in the year 3000.
No, 100%. That's always what I drink, a glass and a half. Mm-hmm. So now I know, 6.3 ounces, or the size of a usual wine.
So you're going to walk into restaurants and be like, hi, may I have 6.3 ounces, please?
Literally. No more pouring wine down the sink when you don't want to finish the bottle. Because of the single-serve format and bottle design, usual is always fresh. No more flat, bubbly, or stale rosé. I can't deal with stale wine. I just can't.
It's so sick. And like, you know, you're desperate.
When it's absorbed all the smells of your fridge.
No, you're literally drinking garlic wine. It's sick.
This is fun.
Yeah.
The wines are low carb and have 0 grams of sugar. That's so important because as someone who's normally usually doing keto and wine is my drink of choice, some wines do have a little bit of carbs, but now with usual wines, you don't have to make that hard choice. Mm. Usual has a red blend, a rosé, and a sparkling white wine called Brut. They also have a limited...
I literally can't say the word Brut either without saying Brut. Ben's deodorant is Brut brand. And I'm like, Ben, are you out of Brut? I'm going to the store.
They have a limited production Brut Rosé just for the summer. Usual wines are made from world-class AVAs. That's the American Viticultural Area in California, like Napa, Sonoma, and Santa Barbara, and are made with minimal intervention, zero sugar, and zero additives. But grapes don't...
Give it back.
No. I feel like more of a rose.
Yeah.
If you love fruit wines as much as I do...
Try usual wines. 6.3 ounces per glass.
Okay, but here's the tea.
Okay.
Here's the wine. Here's the grape. Mm. We have a special holiday product coming early November called the Usual Reserve. It's an ultra-premium limited edition Mount Veeder Cabernet Sauvignon. Introducing Usual Reserve. This is our most special wine yet, just in time for the holidays. Hailing from one of the most celebrated plots of land in all of Napa, the Cabernet Sauvignon is concentrated and rich with just enough grip. Mm. Give it to someone special or keep it all for yourself.
This is a gift for Olivia, like 100%.
100%. The holidays as usual. Now, here is the actual meat and potatoes. Go check out their website at www.usualwines.com. Use our discount code TOAST for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on us. You're welcome. Happy holidays. Usualwines.com, code TOAST. Are you going to sneeze on that? On that truth bomb?
Excuse me. Also, I know it's not a Fast Five story, but really quickly, I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you guys heard, but our niece Michaela tried solid food today for the first time, and it's just such a big deal.
It's such a big deal. Like, she is just making leaps and bounds.
No, she's a medical marvel, and she's literally going to be, like, the world's greatest scientist because she's a genius.
No, totally. Like,
she was just chomping on this, like, breast milk oatmeal.
So stunning.
And it was stunning, and I just... It's big news, so I just wanted to share.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about it, and we just always give you the news that you need to know, and that's definitely something you needed to know.
We would be not doing our job if we didn't share that.
Right. Okay, next up, People apparently has your People of the Year, and they're revealing who those people are.
And this is different from, like, their Most Beautiful Man.
Most Beautiful, Most Sexy.
Yeah, okay. Yes,
this is different. These are just, like, people, good people.
Okay.
According to People.
Okay.
George.
Oh, I see what they did there.
No, I did that.
Yeah, but I'm sure they did it, too.
I guess. I don't know. Like, what else would they do? You know?
No, I know, but like...
Like, person...
Celeb of the year, person of the year. Like, I'm sure they literally intentionally use the word people.
Well, they introduced their 2020 people of the year. We have George Clooney, Regina King, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and Selena Gomez.
Fauci-licious definitious make the boys go loco. No. Fauci-licious definitious makes the docs go loco.
Anyway, so it's like a nice group of people.
Yeah, Selena Gomez is on the cover. And I guess, like, it really was a good year for Selena Gomez.
Because she launched her beauty line.
Aside from the drama with Saved by the Bell, which I'm sure she literally doesn't even care about.
Right.
Yeah, she launched Rare Beauty, which I believe was like a smash success. I saw really positive reviews for, like, and I went to... She did collabs with, like, certain YouTubers. So obviously they said, like, the products were, like, heavenly. But I also went to, like, people who would normally, like, rate makeup, like, completely honestly, and apart from her sponge, which was pretty much regarded as, like, terrible, everyone loved everything in the brand. So I haven't tried anything, but I've been meaning to try the eyeliner.
Yeah, no, I think she had, like, a great launch. I think the brand is well on its way. She also put out a number one album.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
And became a successful cooking show host with her HBO Max series, Selena and Chef.
I feel like this is, like, the most she's done in a while.
Yeah, no, so it was a big year for her.
Yeah.
Ergo, People of the Year.
Yeah. I don't know, like, if I was, you know, well, I guess I am a working person, but, like, would I want 2020 to be, like, the year that I did the most? I don't know.
I think any year that's going to be a good year. Yeah, I think for sure.
I guess.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who would be your people of the year?
Like my person who I feel like accomplished the most in terms of business or like?
Either. Because there's a bunch of people that run the gamut here, you know?
I would say like any public figure who didn't find themselves like wrapped up in some sort of controversy this year is doing the most and is in the clear and is winning because it was really a terrible year to be a public figure or someone with like an Instagram following.
Yeah. Okay. So no one specifically.
I can't think of any. Honestly, Gigi Hadid had a great year. Like she had a full-blown baby and like is so famous. Like people are just like dying. Literally she posts a picture of her kids like hair. They're like, look at Gigi's daughter. Like people are obsessed. So I think Gigi and Zayn had a good year.
Okay.
Do you have someone?
I think Dr. Theodore Fitzcheman had a good year.
Yeah.
Like he just.
I mean, it did get kind of competitive between him and Dr. Fauci mm-hmm. at certain points of the year. Because
it was Dr. Fauci and Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, which is, you know, it got heated.
It did get heated, but he always has a good year. You
always.
Know? He could, like, they could save him for next year.
Do you ever, like, think about people whose lives you want to switch with?
Not in those exact terms, but lives of which I am green with envy, Rachel yeah. Parcell.
Rachel Parcell.
And Rachel Parcell had a good year.
Amazing. I just don't think Rachel Parcell has ever had a bad year. I know you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I know for sure she has never had a bad year. So I've been thinking actually recently, I always think like, I wish I was Theo. Like his life is just so stress-free. It must be frustrating not to be able to like communicate, but also I don't think he has like the emotional intelligence to know like what communicating is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then I've also really been thinking about how like I'm green with envy over Olivia's life. Like she and her husband are just like so happy. They never leave their house. Their baby's so fucking cute. They like drink wine when the baby's asleep and they just like cook fabulous meals. And I've been thinking like, I want her life.
Yeah. I would also put up Miss Kaler for People of the Year.
100%. Actually, I'm offended. It's disgusting.
That it took us this long.
No. That she didn't even get an honorable mention from People magazine.
Sick.
Kaler just was really like... I realize that babies exist outside of Kaler. I fully accept that. And that what Kaler does for us, other babies do for other people. But I just don't think anyone does it better.
No. I also
I have a hard time believing.
I believe that everyone believes that about their own
baby.
Kin.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so wonderful. I'm so happy for everyone who feels that way that we feel towards Kaler.
You know, it's an amazing feeling. And I know I'm not unique in it, but I like to think that I am.
Yeah. No, that's nice.
Thanks.
Okay, ready for our next story? A little
sure.
news in like the streaming wars?
Sure.
Discovery is going to launch a streaming service in January at $4.99 per month.
Discovery.
And Verizon customers get a year free, and that is us.
Discovery's HGTV.
HGTV, Shark Week, Food Network, you know the fam.
Magnolia. I think they bought OWN, right?
Perhaps.
Oprah. Winfrey Network.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't know who needs this. And by the way, and I'm a big HGTV fan.
I feel like Discovery should have partnered with an existing streaming service. Like, this is just on another level.
This is really niche.
Yeah. But maybe this is the future. Instead of everyone having channels,
right.
every channel is a streaming service. And then you just go to the different apps in your Roku instead of different channels on your cable.
That's a very interesting observation and something I could definitely see because I don't see a need for this. And I'm someone who really likes HGTV, but like watching it on cable is like more than enough for me. Like, or I have the HGTV app where they have like loads of content. Are they going to get rid of that?
I'm sure they'll do some sort of merge.
Yeah.
You know, sort of how like HBO Go and HBO Max just became one.
Yeah, that was confusing. But I have to say, like, I'm actually really liking HBO Max. It's one of my favorite. It's like really a front runner in this streaming wars.
So far, like the streaming wars, everyone's really stepped it up.
Disney Plus is everything of the sort.
You know who has yet to really like fix their problems?
Hulu. Yeah.
And their pause and then the show starts over.
It's
and
so
they don't know
user
where
friendly.
You are. They don't know how many episodes you've watched. You know how
And it's
great-
a shame, by the way, because they actually have, I would say, maybe top two in all the streaming platforms, the best catalog of content. Like Desperate Housewives is on there. I'm watching Lost on there. Like, they have the most... Mad Men was on there. Like, they have the most random stuff.
Actually, no,
Mad Men was Prime. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think I watched Mad Men on Netflix when it was on. Also, the thing about Hulu... Oh, what I was going to say is a streaming service that had a really good, like, pause, play, remembrance memory was Acorn, where I watched A Place to Call Home, which one of the highlights of my year. I need to keep that in the back of my mind for when we do, like, recaps.
I need your help. So, I started A Place to Call Home, and I just, like, never really got into it, but I had to pay $7.99 a month. I cannot figure out how to cancel it. Literally, I go to the website. They're like, oh, you signed up on your TV. You have to cancel on your TV. Go to my TV. They say, oh, you signed up on your computer. You have to cancel on your computer. They're swindling me. I'm about to just cancel my whole fucking credit card, like, just to get this $7.99. It's killing me. Like, I did the week free trial, and I remembered to cancel it before the trial was up, but they are swindling me.
Understood. Well, I think that it's just a sign that you should watch the show.
No. My plate is full, and I never really liked
it. Maybe they know that you haven't given it a fair shot yet.
I feel like 6 episodes is a fair shot.
Oh, you really didn't like it?
I did not like it. It just didn't, like, I didn't wake up and be like, what's going on in...
Inverness.
Inverness today.
Inverness.
Oh, in Inverness?
Inverness.
What's going on in Inverness? In Inverness.
In Inverness.
Got it, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't connect with it.
Okay, fine, not for everyone. Fifth and final story, ready for it?
Always.
A little data news from Spotify, amongst all the other data they're giving us. They're letting us know that the most streamed artist on Spotify for 2020 was...
Let me guess.
I don't know if you're going to guess.
Billie Eilish?
No.
Maluma?
No.
Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican superstar is the music platform's most streamed artist of the year with 8.3 billion streams globally. The Latin Grammy winner and hitmaker, who released a new album last week, leads a top five list that also includes Drake, J Balvin, Juice WRLD, and The Weeknd.
That's crazy. That's not who I would expect.
No, that's not who I would expect either. That's an interesting top five.
Yeah. I also watched the Billie Eilish, totally random. I watched her Vanity Fair thing last night.
The same interview every year.
It was kind of long and annoying to watch. I just wanted to see her 2021. Like, I've seen the other ones. I don't need to, like, keep rewatching them. It was kind of frustratingly edited.
Oh.
You know?
I've never watched one of them, but I like the concept.
I like seeing her hair change each year. Like, that's cool.
2019 to 2020,
it did not change. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, so that's just an interesting piece of information. Congratulations to Bad Bunny on the amazing year. Now I want to hear what's in your Spotify Wrapped.
Well, mine was actually really shocking because, like, I always knew I was, like, a big Lauren Elena fan, but I guess I didn't realize, like, how big of a fan I was because my number one song was Getting Good. Like, that's the song I listened to the most times this year.
Wow.
By Lauren Elena. Such a good song. What was yours?
My number one song was Stupid Love by Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Number two song.
Even Though I'm Leaving by Luke Combs.
This Bar by Morgan Wallen.
Wow.
I found myself in this bar.
Making mistakes and making new friends. Number three. I was growing up when nothing made sense. Putting on that like neon in the dark.
It's like I listened to it, 100 times? I
still don't know the words.
I found myself in this box.
Number three.
Physical, Dua Lipa. Stunning song.
Before You Go, Lewis Capaldi.
Interesting.
Number four.
Hollywood, Lewis Capaldi.
Mine is Invisible String by Taylor Swift, which I find really interesting because that's definitely
number one song from Folklore for you then.
But it's not.
But it is, More Than Peace, apparently.
But I feel like it might just be like when I... But the thing is with Folklore... And mostly Taylor Swift. I always buy her albums because I know, like, she's a big purveyor of, like, artists owning their own work or whatever. So I actually listen to most of my Taylor on Apple Music because I own Reputation, I own Folklore, I own Lover. So I feel like my Taylor Swift data is actually not accurate on Spotify, even though she was my number one artist and they said I was within, like, 1% of, you know, her top listenership. I feel like I was actually more because I listened to more of it on...
You know,
record.
I was in her top 2% of listenership.
That's crazy. And, you know, Olivia, who's, like, always, like, hating on Taylor Swift, just because Olivia's, like, you know, she's, like, off the beaten path.
Like, they're just, like, they're not.
Who was Olivia's number one artist? Taylor motherfucking Swift.
Well, it was the year of Taylor Swift. Yeah. What was your number five song?
August by Taylor Swift, which tracks. But I just think, like, Folklore was probably my number four and five songs for sure. But I don't know if it was definitely August, but I feel like it also would have been Betty or Peace.
Got it. My number five was Before You Go by Lewis Capaldi. So I have two Lewis. Wow. I've been trying to tell you guys that I'm really into Lewis Capaldi. And now Spotify just showed you two Lewis Capaldi songs in my top five.
What song did you, like, discover before it hit 50,000 streams?
Oh, I didn't take a screenshot of that.
Mine is Country and Me by Lauren Elena. Like, I'm literally Lauren Elena's number one fan.
That's so funny. And then who are your top artists?
Taylor Swift, number one.
Same.
Wow. Number two?
Lady A.
Wow. Luke Combs for me.
Because I made a playlist called Lady A of all of my favorite songs. Pretty much all of their songs, right. Like minus like five or six that I can't stand, where I would just listen to it on shuffle. And I did the same thing for my number three artist, Rascal Flatts. And that's also because I thought they were retiring and that we were going to go on tour and follow them and, like, do Molly every night. And then that didn't happen.
My number three was 5 Seconds of Summer, which I really loved. Like, I know, like, the data is like statistical, so it's, like, so me, but it really is, like, so me, you know?
That's funny, yeah.
My number four was also Rascal Flatts.
My number four was Lady Gaga.
And then my number five was Queen Lauren Elena.
My number five was Luke Combs.
I just really
I just feel, like, really represented by, like, these top artists. Like, I do feel, obviously, like, I wish, like, Morgan Wallen were in there. And, like,
me too.
You know, some other artists that I loved. But I do feel like this is an accurate representation of me, but that's because it is.
Yeah. I also thought really interesting was my top genres, and I feel like they were definitely skewed because of Folklore. Because my number one pop genre was pop. And I definitely do not listen to pop the most. I listen to contemporary country, which was my number two, which is right behind. Like, but it must have been because Folklore pushed it over the edge, and just probably my general love for Taylor Swift pushed it over the edge. And then also my number three was Christian music.
Oh, that's so interesting. My number three was Christian music also. My number two was contemporary country. And my number one was pop, obviously.
I don't know if, like, people find other people's... I feel like talking about your stats is like talking about your dreams. Like, nobody cares.
I know. Okay. And I feel that way, too. I'm just, like, so interested in it that I can't help but share it. And also, like... We do talk a lot about the show, like, uh-huh. about pop culture. And so it's interesting to hear what we actually listen to. Like, I feel like we talked about, like, so many albums. Like, Ari has an album coming out. Apparently, I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
You know?
So no, I definitely agree with that. I
feel
like...
These are the things that tracked.
Our data is, you know, further proof of our stanhood to literally everything we talk about here.
Right. It's not like I go home and, like, listen to Bach and then come here
well,
and
I actually
pretend
do
to be,
dabble in Beethoven.
And
but,
I come here and pretend to be like a pop queen, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, this is just proof that we do our homework.
No, that like, we're, yeah, we do
We're here homework. For a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those were the Fast Five stories.
You needed to know them.
And speaking of things you didn't need to know, let's talk about last night's Bachelorette.
Let's talk about it.
It was really like an episode for me where I feel like up until now I've really been feeling like all these guys, like, I love them. And now they're, like, all individually starting to annoy me.
Oh, interesting. There's, like, two or three people who I came into the season, like, feeling really strong towards. And now I'm, like, out on them.
Well, Margot the Snatchler posted probably the most profound tweet about Bennett that I couldn't agree more with. And it's that quote. And every time I hear this quote, it shakes me to my core. You told me about it. And you said Ariana on Vanderpump Rules said it.
To Sheena.
But it's actually a direct quote. When Ben made me watch Batman over quarantine, it's from Batman. And it's obviously, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. And that is Bennett to a T. Literally, I thought he was so funny. Even up until like last week, the week before, like when he was being like mean, I still thought it was funny. Now he's gotten to a place that is so fucking annoying. Like, I cannot wait for him
so
to go
annoying.
Home.
So stupid. And the first person to use the word emotional intelligence on The Bachelor is out.
Like, agreed.
And I'm out on them.
And that whole emotional intelligence thing is like, it's so played out.
I mean, when he was describing the four tenets of emotional intelligence, I was kind of interested.
I agree. I was listening to a seminar on emotional intelligence because I didn't know that.
Right, but like separate from the episode of The Bachelor.
And I don't even want to decide whose side I'm on or like who I think is wrong or right, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because if you have somehow found yourself in this room with Tayshia, like fighting about drama, like you're not the man for Tayshia. And yeah. That's at the end of the day, like that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. So let's start from the beginning because she had a one-on-one with Zach C. And
whom I love.
The date itself was like wedding pictures that like the footage was better than the photos that were blurry.
Why do they do that?
It was so strange. And
that
I
was like
it was
a terrible promo for the photographer. Like,
I know. I thought the same thing.
Every time they snapped the picture and showed what it turned out, like they literally looked like somebody put Vaseline on the lens.
No, exactly. like iPhone portrait mode would have been better.
No, I was so confused.
So confusing.
And why do they do dates like that? Like
such a terrible concept for a date. They did like make it fun and cute, sort of. But like when he was like, this is how it actually feels on your wedding day. It's like, No, it doesn't. You're just wearing a suit.
No, but I did. I was actually really shocked when he also said he was married briefly at one point. And anytime one of the contestants says that they're married, I'm like, fuck yes. Like, this is the man for you. Because now there's two. Brendan, who I still really like, and I think Tayshia still really likes. Mm-hmm. And now Zach C. And obviously him talking about his wedding, like, opened up this huge floodgate to, like, what he went through.
In the past 10 years,
which I thought was very inspiring and very honest. Like, every time he revealed something new about himself, I'm like, oh, wow, that's it? And then he's like, literally, he just didn't stop. It was like, honesty, truth. Like, he just opened up so much. And honestly, I don't think I've ever seen anyone on the show, like, be that honest.
100%. And, like, he could have been more
vague
about it. But he just went there and he really opened up and shared. He didn't hold back. And I was very impressed by his honesty as well. I think Tayshia was. He got the rose. And I think she already really liked him before. Mm-hmm. And I think they're, like, you know, they have that bond now.
I agree. I was just really shook at the sheer honesty of it.
Yeah, he's one to watch.
100%. He's definitely up there, like maybe makes it to hometowns. Then we go on the group date, which was the whole art thing. And I really don't want to be mean, so I'm really just not gonna say anything.
Okay, I don't want to be mean, but I'm gonna say something.
Sure.
First, I just want to say, like, I think when anybody opens up about like their struggles and their past, especially on TV, but even not on TV, in real life, like, I think that it is so brave.
I couldn't agree
and
more.
And it's become this, like, trope on The Bachelor. You get your one-on-one, and then you share, like, the thing that you went through. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all become really accustomed to that. And that is really important in getting to know someone.
In a relationship, 100%.
I feel like I have such a better sense of who Zaxi is now, knowing so much about him,
of course,
than I did before his one-on-one.
And having dinner with Tayshia in a romantic setting is the perfect place to open up. I just
felt... it went down on the group date, where it's like they're all going around. It's almost like a competition of like who's been through like the worst thing. And like it was so... It almost like... It doesn't do justice like these things that these men have actually been through. And I feel like for Tayshia, I don't know who made it this way, but I feel like for Tayshia, like that is so much for one woman to have on her shoulders, all of these men who are vying for her. And now they've all completely opened themselves up in front of each other.
It's That's why she was crying.
It's too heavy.
No, I couldn't agree more. I thought the setting was like just wholly inappropriate. Right. Like let's just talk about like the actual like physical, like everyone's standing in a square holding frames. Like, it was just not ideal physical setting. Then, I don't know, you want to open up about your trauma, like, in front of 20 relative strangers. Like,
yeah.
And then also think about the cameramen, the producers. Like, there's just so many people. And the whole thing gave me a weird vibe. And I thought what everyone opened up about was, like, really lovely. And I don't want to...
And really personal.
And it's, I'm not saying anything bad about that. Because I think, like, any person, let alone, like, a man who opens up, like, it's hard. And... I just, like, it just didn't make me feel the way I think it was intended to make me feel.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of pressure for Tayshia to, like, have to,
this
have
information.
To process all of that information to all of these guys, like, in front of each one of them. It's just a lot. Like,
it was
for
like
a date
firing
that started
squad.
As, like, a nude, like, a jokey nude painting thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But like, I think there were some people who did like a really cute, and I think it started out light and then it just got super heavy.
Yeah, Brandon with his frame where he put himself in the portrait and then like turned it to the side, like that was perfect. Ivan with the puzzle piece, like King Ivan, he's definitely top form material. And I can't stress this enough because I don't want people to like give me shit. I'm not saying anything. And you know who I think handled it well? Ben.
Naked.
Because naked Ben. Because when he got naked, I'm like, this is bizarre and kind of weird.
But then he told her privately.
And it followed up and it made sense. Like, oh, him showing off his body is like a really big deal. And he told her privately. Like, I don't know. To me, like, that made more sense.
Right. And I'm not necessarily judging the men for sharing.
No.
I just don't know what, like, circumstances led to, okay, we're all going to, like, you know, open up today. I just thought it was, like,
it reminded me of this episode of Friends where it's Thanksgiving and everyone is like, it's just like all these like lies are coming to truth. And Ross says this thing and that's reminding me of this. He's like, it's Thanksgiving, not Truth Day. And like, that's what it felt like. Everyone was just like telling their truth.
It's naked art, not truth day.
When it felt so random because they were just doing an art class and obviously like production told them to do this. And like, that's just what I didn't agree with. Like production, like, I don't know. It felt like exploiting people's trauma.
I totally agree.
And I can't stress this enough. I'm not saying what any of the guys did was wrong. I just felt like the whole setting was very strange.
I totally agree. That's how I feel also.
And then we spent like the last 20 minutes of the episode like, oh, there was one more one-on-one
Easy.
With... Oh.
And he got sent home.
Yeah, that was...
And that was so strange.
That was very, very strange. But I did think it was kind of weird of him to say that he was falling in love with her when
Completely
he's literally
agree.
Never spent
no,
a minute with her.
That is like, you either think it's going to be the thing that keeps you here till the end or it gets you sent home if you stay 1 minute too soon.
Early. Yeah. And yeah. By the way, like, I don't even think I've ever seen Tayshia and Easy talk. So like, he's obviously not in love with her. Like, I just think he's seen one too many episodes of The Bachelor and like knows that that's a step you have to take and wanted to be like ahead of the curve.
But not on your first one-on-one.
No, but I was having so much fun on the one-on-one until that moment because it was so funny. Like, the haunted house. Like, I just thought it was hilarious. Like, Tayshia's so funny. Easy's so funny. I actually think they might have been, like, really compatible. But I just don't think Easy was being... And I liked Easy a lot. I just don't think he was coming off, like, at all, like, authentic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she has, like, a good radar for that.
Yeah. And I do think, like, if he hadn't said, I'm falling in love with you, like, he probably would have gotten the rose. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're not... Even if you really, really like her, like, you're not falling in love with her yet. Your date was, like, a fun, silly thing. That's not... like falling in love yet. You guys have yet to even like open yourselves up to each other.
Yeah, 100%.
So I saw why she sent him home. I thought it was just like surprising.
And I actually really like when bachelorettes send guys home like in the middle of dates, not to embarrass them or anything, but just to not waste their time. And so while I appreciated that, like I was just surprised because I think Easy's such a catch.
Yeah.
And he's been like probably one of my favorites like since the beginning.
Yeah.
Even with Claire.
No, and they literally flash to the guys in the house being like, they probably have the strongest connection. Like there's no way he's going home.
Yeah. And so I thought they were setting us up when they were showing to the guys all saying that. I thought they were setting us up for like Easy going really far because I hadn't thought that they had like an immediate obvious connection, but the guys obviously in the house see something that we don't see.
Yeah.
But they're obviously just setting us up to trick us. Like,
right. Like, no, that's, you should have known when that happened. But there's no way he's going home.
Yeah,
going
home. And then I don't even, like, the Noah and Bennett stuff is so dumb, but Tayshia looked fire as fuck when she walked into that room. Stunning, that dress. She's real. I know they have the same stylist for every Bachelorette and for every season, but he, like, just, I think he's just really connecting with Tayshia and her body because he's dressing her, like, just so well.
So well. I was actually thinking, like, if the turnaround was so quick for her to become the Bachelorette, like, how did they get all of these, like, sickening styles for her? I'm sure they, like, mass ordered from Revolve and...
And by the way, I'm sure Tayshia and Claire are similar sizes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they could wear the same.
Yeah, no, but the style...
I'm sure they have a seamstress.
The green dress she wore to dinner with Easy, I was like...
With the chain sleeves was so sick.
Unwell.
She just looks amazing, like, at every turn. Not to, obviously, like, pit anyone against each other, but, like, she's... like so fucking stunningly beautiful. Like I can't. She's a pleasure to watch on television.
I completely agree.
Like just a true
and
joy.
And the looks are completely on point.
And she looked great, even though those wedding dresses were absolutely heinous. Like each one she came out in was more ugly than the next. She carried them all with grace and elegance.
She really did. Also, JoJo showed up.
Oh, that's the other thing I want to talk about. Like how weird this season is. Like so rare we have two Bachelorettes in one season, and it just feels like everything about the season is so flaky. Like they're not traveling, there's not even a full Bachelorette. Chris Harrison just ups and leaves for the first time in 15 years. Like the whole season just feels so like stitched together, like with a band-aid, you know.
And also what's like really I can't help but think about it every single time a new person shows up, even the photographer for the wedding, which was like so unnecessary.
They had to quarantine
No, but it's like did they quarantine? Did JoJo
yes
like Ashley, I, Jared, like everyone who came through, they quarantined. Like the way that they showed the men going through it, like every single person who's hopping on did the same thing. And it's fine if they didn't, but they like were able to confirm that they were.
I think they definitely did.
I don't think they did like 2 weeks test to 2 weeks test. Like
I do.
I don't.
I really do. Because think about when this was filmed. Now I feel like things are a little bit more relaxed. But this was filmed like 4 months ago, like when things were worse.
Right. But I just think like they had these people who were coming, like get tested and then they were able to come.
Or maybe like Ashley and Jared like live in LA and like they just had to stay in their apartment for 2 weeks.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, it's interesting
JoJo
to think about.
JoJo lives in Dallas.
Yeah, no. JoJo's a big question mark.
Like it just makes me like annoyed that we had to watch all that stuff in the beginning when it's like you guys have clearly figured out a way to get like a photographer in for the afternoon.
Yeah, the photographer, I just feel like they really did him dirty. Like I'm sure the pictures came out much better and they just like they kept freeze framing on like they weren't even smiling. Like it was like that whole scene was edited very strangely.
It was so bad. Like it would have been nice to see some of the cute photos, but like we couldn't see them.
No, I thought it was really cute, like the whole thing, and I just couldn't believe he was married again. Like
and I did like all the different styles of wedding. They had like princess wedding, Vegas rock star wedding.
Oh, by the way, do you think that it's at all a coincidence that there are now two guys who have been married who were on Claire's season?
What do you mean?
Like they knew Tayshia was coming and they loaded up with guys who have been married previously?
No, I don't. I just think some of them happen to be older because Claire was
older.
Oh,
that's true.
And so if you're 35, like the
you're
chances
more likely
that you've been married before are stronger.
That's such a brilliant point. You're a genius. So that's our Bachelorette recap. Anything else we missed from the episode? It wasn't anything to write home about.
No, but like I do feel like there have been a few moments this season where I'm like actually shocked, which rarely happens, or I'm like hysterically laughing,
yes,
which rarely happens.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our Bachelorette recap, and now we're going to dive into Dear Toasters, our
and
advice
the checkers
segment.
For Tayshia, they were quiet today,
yeah,
but they don't forget about them. Like they're here and they're proud.
Yeah. But thanks for being quiet. It's so annoying. Our advice segment is brought to you by Athletic Greens. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise, stress, or simply not eating enough of the right foods. This is where Athletic Greens can help. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more. They all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, increase energy and focus, aid with digestion, and support a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. They continue to obsessively improve their formula based on the latest research, producing 53 iterations over the last decade and counting. And Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system during the winter months. They are offering our audience a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit our link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamins again. And by the way, I've been taking vitamin D now from Athletic Greens for like the last month, I would say, because they say like with COVID, like you should be taking it for your immunity. So to get a free year supply in this day and age is just a bargain that you really can't put a price on. Visit athleticgreens.com/toast. That's athleticgreens.com/toast to get your free year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs today. Again, that link is athleticgreens.com/toast. And you can only get the free year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs if you use that link, athleticgreens.com/toast.
Love it.
All right, Dear Toasters, our advice segment. If you ever want to write in, the email is deartoasters@gmail.com. We'll always keep it anonymous and you can write in about anything.
Okay, let's go.
Dear Jackie and Claudia, my boyfriend and I have been living together for about 8 months now. I've been supporting us financially as I have been back at work since May and he just returned a few weeks ago. One girl I work with told me she has an OnlyFans account and made about $40,000 in the last month. I've been super stressed about money and thought, I have a nice ass, why not make a few extra dollars? I created an OnlyFans account behind his back because even talking about money stresses him out. I only had the account active for 4 days and felt so guilty, so I deleted it. A few days later, my boyfriend confronted me about the situation, and we talked about why I started one. He had a few questions, but understood why I did it. Since our conversation about the account, I have not stopped wondering about how he found out about the account. It was only active for 4 days, and I only had one fan. Only fan, LOL, she said. I always used a private browser when accessing the account and would delete the window after. Sketchy, I know. I've talked about it with a few friends, and they think he either went through my phone or some sort of spyware on my phone. Should I bring it up to my boyfriend? I feel guilty because I know I'm in the wrong for creating the account, but really want to know how he found out. Also, what should I do if he did go through my phone or has spyware? Sincerely, a toaster who only posted a few butt pics for a buck. That's a good question. Like, I guess I would be fixated too on how he found out, and you 100% have to ask.
I don't know, because if he has spyware, and like, I feel like we always see this in movies, like when you're suspicious of something, so you go to the person and like let them know of your suspicions, and then you lose your advantage,
yeah,
of being suspicious. So I would try, like, maybe like now that we're like there's spyware involved, like we have to be spies about it,
right?
And it's not like your average, like, just ask your boyfriend if he went through your phone, because if he went through your phone, that's one thing, but if you're suspicious of spyware, then we've got to be spies.
No, honestly, so we have to level up. We have to call in the big guns. No, Junie Cortez.
You need to, like, do something on your phone that would make him ask you a question. Do you know what I mean?
Huh?
Like, just like you are on OnlyFans, which made him ask, why are you on OnlyFans?
Yeah, like, start looking at, like, BBW, like, something, you know?
Yeah, like, something that'll alert him. That would alert him, that would make him ask you a question.
That's a very good plan.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what it is for him, like, if I
selling feet pics or something.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's in line with OnlyFans. Like, oh, but she's like, just trying to make my extra money.
Is having spyware on someone's phone, like, in a casual way,
illegal?
Thing? No, is it a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys, your friends sound like they're gaslighting you and like making you really paranoid. But I think your initial curiosity about how he found out is very valid.
Yeah, I would try.
I don't know if it's as far as like a full blown, you know, mole in your phone, but I do. If he's going through your stuff, you gotta know.
Yeah, I've never heard of like casual spyware that's like if you're not in the CIA, like you have like spies in your phone.
No, like I think,
but I also am like not, you know, up on some stuff.
I haven't read my Spy Monthly, so I'm not entirely sure, but I agree. Like, I think you might be like overthinking. Like, he might just be like looking through your phone when you're in the shower, you know, like there's no sophisticated technology.
Does he have your password? Like, is that a possibility?
Yeah, I would love a follow-up here, to be honest. But I think that you should definitely do some digging on how he found out.
And set and lay some traps, like just like casual traps.
Yeah, like pretend you're having an affair, like with this random number, you know?
Yeah, like get some texts going, like make it one of your friends, like change the number.
No, delete her contact. So people who are shady don't save cell phone numbers. That's always how you know they're being shady.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, do something like that and like have a fake affair and
lay a trap
and destroy your relationship.
Yeah, that's our advice.
But just do a little spy work if you think there's spies involved.
You know,
don't go to him with your suspicions. Like, it's
if you have to one up the spy.
Yeah, because if there's spyware going on, like, this is nefarious. You don't go to, like, the person who's being nefarious and say, are you a nefarious person?
Yeah, but I guess in, like, the name of honesty, like, in a relationship, like, that's actually what you should do.
Right, but he broke the honor code first if he is a spy.
Yeah, but do you think there's any way that, like, one of your friends, like, was a snitch?
Yeah, look into that.
Because you didn't say that, and you didn't tell anyone.
By the way, you could lay traps there too. Say you're tell each fan a different secret. Tell one you're going back on OnlyFans. Tell another you were
selling
weird about
feet pics.
But you're going to sell feet pics. Like Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones. Tell everyone something different, and whichever one gets back to him, snitch alert.
Yeah, like Tyrion Lannister or like Kardashians when they thought Jonathan Chabon was selling stories, so they like made up fake stories to Jonathan.
Yeah.
We hope that was helpful.
I think that was.
Next up, hey, Claude and Jax, thanks for being my source of news and entertainment over the year 2020. Now let's get to the not-so-good stuff. I've been dating / engaged to an actual P-jom. Literally puts up with my sassy ass, and I don't know why sometimes. We've been together for over a year and have plans to get married next spring. The past summer, my high school ex added me on Snapchat. He would randomly message me, and I would sometimes respond. The past couple weeks, we have snapped each other every day, all day, and even late at night. At one point, we had what the kids called a streak going. I know, stupid. We are 30 and too old to care. He is married with one child and another one on the way. Our convos are mostly light, but sometimes get flirty and sexual, but never in a sexting way or towards each other. It's more like that's what she said stuff, you know, like silly jokes. I know I shouldn't be talking to him, but I'm so stressed with working full time outside of the home in this COVID climate, wedding planning, house buying, throwing money out left and right. So having this fun outside distraction has been nice. Am I a horrible person? How and when should I end this little affair? Thanks for your solicited advice. Okay, I'm going to do my absolute best, like, not to be judgy, but like, you have to stop. Like, I hate when people do this, like, ruin perfectly good things. Like, not only do you have something really good going on, he has something really good going on. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, I realize that you're stressed. Play tennis. Like, don't go making, like, Snapchat affairs. Like, I am so not here for this. You are making a mistake, and your man is a P-jom, and you have to fix it, and you have to stop, and so does he.
You're making a mistake, and you should stop right now, delete the Snapchat app before you make a real mistake. Like, this is just... I understand that right now, like, you can make the argument that, like, you guys are just technically friends. Can boys and can exes be friends and snap? Like, sure. But what's the point, really? And then, so you're saying it's, like, a fun little distraction. Find a different distraction.
No, there's just so many things. Like, I've taken up knitting. I watch a lot of TV.
Become a redhead.
There's so many. Become a Patreon member. Like, there's so many things that you could do to distract yourself. I feel like this is, like, a plot of a movie, you know? Like... There's nothing, like, I've seen this before somewhere, and I just know it doesn't end well, and, like, yeah. I really encourage you just to, like, stop.
And you're saying that your man is a P-jom, like, we have to protect P-joms at all costs.
That's all, when she said that, like, that was the nail in the coffin for me, where I was like...
And then he also has a baby, like, there's no, you know, it's not like a love affair that it's like, we're gonna be together, you guys aren't OTP.
No, not at all, oh my god, your OTP is waiting at home for you, go back in bed.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry to ruin the fun.
I know.
To be a fun ruiner. But you wrote into us knowing that the fun needed to be ruined. And
sometimes you know where you need to hear the hard truth. And that's what we're giving you today. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Like, focus on the P-jom. Focus on the P-jom.
Next up. Hi, Claudia and Jackie, and of course, Dr. Ficheman.
Hi, Dr. Ficheman.
She spelled Ficheman wrong, but she said, I'm sorry, I'm a horrible speller. I'm writing in desperate need of help in regards to my brother's horrible girlfriend. She's an absolute terror. I'm talking rude to my family, rude to my parents' friends, and doesn't try to be kind to my mom and me. Anyways, they've been dating for about 8 months now, and my brother knows we hate her and is going to date her in spite of us. I really thought she was going to be gone by now, but the holidays are approaching, and she is planning on spending all the holidays with my family. Thanksgiving is fine because of COVID. We're not supposed to travel, but she doesn't plan on going home for Christmas. My family is extremely close, and my mom and I are not comfortable with this. We feel like we are walking on eggshells around him and her, and we can't even tell him it's weird. She doesn't want to go see her own family. It's not hard for her to go home. It's only a couple hours drive, so they think it's weird that, like, she won't go home and see her own family. Anyways, what do? I do not want my Christmas to be spent with her, and it truly gives me anxiety thinking I might have to deal with her forever. P.S. My brother once sent a nude of her in our family group chat and never told her. Seems like the smoking gun, but I'm not going to be the sister. But how fucking hilarious and disturbing is that? My mom said it's the last thing I ever wanted to see, but I now get why he likes her.
That's really funny.
Oh, man, this is a horrible situation because I feel like one of two ways. Like, part of me is like, if your brother is really like a spite dater, the fact that you guys are also up in arms about it, like, you're giving him more energy to, like, keep going and, like, making you angry. So part of me wants to be like, just pretend like you don't care, and, like, maybe he'll realize he doesn't even like her and there's nothing there. But then you run the risk of, like, him thinking that all is good and, like, marrying her, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think rude is a subjective term. And you haven't given us really, like, real concrete reasons as to why you don't like her. Now, you say 8 months, why is she coming to family Christmas? You know, they're not, like, at that level. Yet you complain that she's rude to your parents' friends. Why and how is she around your parents' friends in the last 8 months if, like, she, they're not that serious? And also, it's a pandemic.
Wow, Nancy Drew over here.
So maybe, like, they are more serious than you think. And again, I would like to understand, like, what she has done that is rude, you know? Because maybe she's a bitch and, like, I'm totally off base and, you know, you could...
Right, we're just this girl wrote us in, we're just taking...
You could give me a laundry list of things that she's done, but maybe we come at it from her side. He has this family of strong-willed women, and maybe she's a little shy, and the shyness comes off as rudeness. I know for me, sometimes that has happened. My shyness does come off as rudeness because people expect me to be, like, big and bubbly, and then when I'm kind of quiet, they're like, oh, she's just not talking to us.
Yes, by the way, a lot of people think that you're rude when you meet them.
Yeah, because I'm just, like, kind of quiet and reserved, and they think I'm just, like, being judgmental, but I'm just like being I'm shy, like I'm feeling uncomfortable.
And I think people think, like, just because your hair is red, like, that you would be, like, loud in the center of attention, when it's, you're actually the opposite.
No, 100%. So my advice to you is going to be a little different.
Okay,
let's take Christmas out of the equation. Sounds like she's coming. I think you and her should have a night together, maybe get a little drunk, maybe get to know her a little bit and try and understand, like, why she is the way she is. Maybe at the end of it she's the bitch you thought she was.
But you at least tried.
Yeah, I just think, especially if, you know, they're, and also if your brother is really a spite dater and he sees you're like trying to get to know her, he might rethink his strategy. Yeah.
But also, sometimes at the end of the day, I think some of the, like, the best friendships always start with two girls who hated each other.
100%.
Olivia and Danny.
Yeah.
Like, lifelong friends for life and hated each other so much.
Yeah, I think you guys, like, when she's... I don't know what your plans are, but when you guys are together for the holidays, you guys, like, have a girls' night, get a little drunk, share your secrets. Well, don't give her too much, because if she's really mean, she'll use it against you. But, you know, just, like, kick back.
No, like, you could hate someone so much, but, like, you have a couple drinks and, like, you are their best friend. It's actually crazy. Like,
and, like, you guys might bond in a way that, like, you might understand her better. You might not be best friends, but, like, you might have a different opinion of her.
You know what? You really opened my eyes, Jackie. I agree with you.
I'm just, it tis the season, you know, spread love and joy.
Deck the halls with boughs of Theo. La 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 la. That was Dear Toasters, our advice segment. Again, if you ever want to write in, or if you have written in the last few months and we read your advice on air and you have an update for us, please send an update to deartoasters@gmail.com. Just put update in the subject line. We really want to hear from you guys. But thank you to everyone who wrote in today, and we hope that was helpful. I actually think that might have been some of our best advice yet.
I totally agree, except for the spy stuff. If only we were spy kids.
Don't forget to pre-order my book, girlwithnojob.com/book. It is book. My autobiographical memoir, comedy. It's honestly comedy at its finest. Jackie's read it, and she's a really harsh critic. And even if she hated it, I think she would tell me so.
If I would have hated it, I would have, like, given you, like, it was still in the writing phase. I would have given you, like,
right,
you know, some more criticism.
So check it out. Girlwithnojob.com/book. Anything you want to promote before we go?
New episode of The Redhead Shops next week. Follow me on Instagram at Jackie O Problems. Follow the Pups with No Job on Instagram if you're looking for some content uppers. I posted a photo yesterday that is my new go-to content upper, where it just, like, will always bring a smile to my face. It's of Theo and Magnolia being the cutest cousins. I'm working on a version where Theo is photoshopped in because they are just the cutest cousins that anyone has ever seen. Pups with No Job, premium content. Between the three of them, like, the premium content, it's on a daily basis now, and I don't think you'll regret it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We hit 70,000 subscribers. That was very exciting.
Oh my God. Hey, subscribers.
We're also available as a podcast and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. You will see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.